May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps as we gather here this morning, many of us may come with aches and pains of some kind. I can see a few people smiling. I have to confess that I have had a bit of an achy back over the last few days because I was lugging very heavy suitcases on the train from the UK back to Bern, so it's my fault. But we'll all have disabilities, burdens, hurts of different kinds, whether they are physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. We all need grace, strength, and healing in some way. Healing, in the widest sense, was a central element of Jesus' ministry. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus healing people who were sick, or bowed down or oppressed in some way. He brings sight to the blind and makes the deaf hear and the lame walk. He also brings healing and peace to those disturbed in mind or spirit, those who are burdened with guilt or cast out of society. His healings are not the showy work of a magician seeking attention. They are signs of the kingdom and they point to who he is as God's son. Some people begin to recognize who Jesus is, but others react against him, and he meets very strong resistance from many of the religious people of the day who resent the way he challenges their authority, their rules and regulations. We've just heard the story of the crippled woman who was healed on the Sabbath, much to the anger of the synagogue ruler. This is one of several of Jesus' healings which take place on the Sabbath. And that's a crucial element of this story. This was controversial because the fourth of the Ten Commandments, to keep the Sabbath holy, was very important to pious Jews. As a faithful Jew, Jesus was certainly not opposed to this commandment, rightly understood. But Jesus emphasized that the commandment was given to them as a gift for their flourishing, not as a straitjacket. Keeping the Sabbath was to be a delight to them, as we heard in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah. They are to keep the day holy, not to pursue their own interests, but to delight in the Lord. As Jesus says on another occasion, the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. Perhaps, rightly understood, this understanding of the Sabbath might have something to say to us. Perhaps we could benefit from keeping Sunday as a day of rest, a day for worship and reflection. Could this bring a more healthy balance into our lives, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and even be a delight to us? I must say that I appreciate the fact that in Switzerland there are stricter rules about shopping on Sundays, and that's an encouragement for people to use this day for rest and reflection. I also know of some people who don't look at their computer on a Sunday and have more time to pray, rest, take time with their families. However, as with all rules and regulations, the commandment to keep the Sabbath can become a straitjacket rather than a positive discipline. And some of the scribes and Pharisees certainly emphasized the keeping of the Sabbath in a very rigid way, which could be life-denying rather than life-affirming. As we see in this gospel story, the synagogue ruler interpreted the commandment to do no work on the Sabbath to mean that Jesus should not heal the crippled woman on the Sabbath either, even though he would have been quite happy to look after his animals on that day. So let us reflect further on this healing of the crippled woman. Luke says literally that she was crippled by a spirit of weakness. We don't know what caused her weakness or disability. It may have been a physical disability simply, or it may have had psychological causes, as we all know all too well that emotional and mental trauma can affect our bodies. But whatever the cause, this woman was so bent over that she could no longer stand up straight. I'd like this morning to retell the story from the woman's point of view, using a certain amount of imagination. And let us pray that we may be open to hear God's word through her story. was crippled for over 18 years. I became more and more bent over, so I couldn't stand up straight anymore. None of the doctors I saw could explain it. I don't know how it started or what came first, but I know that I was twisted up inside as well as in my body. I felt a great bitterness and resentment and shame. Some people shunned me because they thought I must have done something bad and was being punished by God. I often felt alone and worthless. I'd heard a lot about Jesus. People were always talking about him. The things he said, the authority he had, the way he welcomed people that other people despised and even ate with them. I'd heard tell that he healed lepers, that he'd even touched them, that he cast out demons and brought sight to the blind. People said that he treated women with dignity too, even very disreputable ones, and that he always had time for children. I wanted to find out more, so I followed the crowds at some distance. I didn't feel worthy to get too near, and it never occurred to me to demand his attention. But I liked to watch him and to listen to him. One day, I was listening to him teaching in the synagogue. He spoke in a different way from our usual teachers of the law. He had a natural authority, which was different from theirs. He always made you sit up and listen. Well, on this day, something happened, and what a shock it was. Without realizing it, I'd crept forward in the crowd nearer to Jesus, and he saw me. He turned and he looked at me. I'd never had anyone look at me like that before, with such shrewd knowledge and yet such tender compassion. Then he called me over to him. I was trembling all over. I wanted to run away, but I couldn't. So I shuffled over to him in my painful, ugly way. Then Jesus spoke again. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And he touched me. I can't really explain what happened then, but I know that that touch was somehow what I'd been waiting for all my life. I felt so many burdens and cramps and pains fall away, not only from my body, but also from the twisted, fearful, bitter places of my heart. I could now stand up straight. What a sense of joy and relief and freedom. It all welled up in me, and I had to burst out in praise of God. Then I became aware that others didn't like what had happened. They didn't like the fact I'd been healed, and I don't think they liked Jesus very much either. The leader of the synagogue was very angry. "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. What are you doing healing on the Sabbath?" It's true. It was the Sabbath day, and the Jewish law says we're not to work on the Sabbath. The synagogue ruler must have thought that healing was work too. I remember I looked nervously at Jesus. What will he say? Now it was Jesus' turn to be angry, and he was very angry. "You hypocrites," he said, "you are perfectly prepared to untie your animals on the Sabbath and look after them, but you don't like it when I free this daughter of Abraham from her bondage on the Sabbath." They were all silenced at this, and I felt a humble sense of pride. Jesus called me a daughter of Abraham. I had a new feeling of worth and dignity and a knowledge that I belonged. And I had a new understanding that God can't be kept in a box tied up by man's rules and regulations, but that his grace wants to burst out and bring healing, hope, and new life for all. Somehow, this was all bound up with this man, Jesus. I left the synagogue a new person, with a passionate desire that others would allow Jesus to touch them too, that they too would discover the same freedom, healing, and forgiveness that I had received. As I left that day, I remember I turned and I saw the leader of the synagogue with an angry, resentful sneer on his face that I will never forget. I realized I felt sorry for him. Perhaps he was crippled as well, in a different kind of way. I wonder if Jesus could help him too and bring him healing and freedom, if only he knew he needed it. Perhaps, like the crippled woman in this story, we may be aware of things that cripple us in some way and long for healing. We may have to cope with physical pain or incapacity. We may be burdened by fear and anxiety or bitterness or resentment, doubt and anger. But it may also be that, like the synagogue ruler, we are crippled by attitudes within us we are less aware of, which are resistant, perhaps, to God's grace and healing. Hardness of heart, self-righteous judgment of others, lack of compassion. We first have to acknowledge our need. Can we allow Jesus to touch us, to bring us a new sense of freedom, forgiveness, and hope? Of course, God does not promise physical healing from all our illnesses and pains in this life. And assuming that when we or others are not healed, it is because of lack of faith, can simply add to our guilt, doubt, and misery. But Jesus certainly promises courage, hope, forgiveness, and the reality of his transforming presence to all who come to him in their need. May we come before our Lord as that crippled woman did, open to receive his touch, his healing, and his love. Then we will be able to stand up straight as God's beloved sons and daughters. Amen.